repay us according to our iniquities. Praise be to God for this inexpressible gift. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We would love to take a trip with you all. Choir tour 2012. Well, this is the time in our worship service where we take a few moments to share together from our lives and the lives of those we love prayer requests, things that are on our hearts to lift up. And one that we wanted to share with you this morning is Mark Weber is back in Miriam Hospital today with just stuff going on. And so the doctors are taking care of him. He's not in critical condition, but he's being cared for at the hospital. So we're praying for Mark and for the Weber family today. Are there other prayer requests to lift up? So Gladys.
I say amen to the choir. Amen. I regret that I didn't sing today. Today's my birthday, and I should have been singing. I'm asking God for his continuous blessings for the past year, and ask him for his grace and glory and his mercy to us, my family, and for the church as a whole.
Happy birthday, Gladys. Give me thanks to God. Come, Vivian.
I'm asking a prayer for myself. I'm traveling to Ghana on Saturday. So.
Traveling mercies as you go to Ghana. Thanks. I saw Peter.
Prayers for my friend Roberta, who's 66, and she's going into the hospital tomorrow. To have her back operated on, two discs to be fused, and a tumor on the end of her spine that has to be removed. So prayers for her, and also for my Uncle Dexter, who's 88, and he's been, he's not well, and he and his sister, who's the same age, they're dealing with this, with his illness. and prayers for them, and thank you.
For both Roberta and for Dexter as well. Dan.
My friend Rich Evans was supposed to have most of his esophagus removed last Wednesday, but he was in an automobile accident just 2 days before that. So the whole schedule is now off kilter, and it will take a while to get it back on. So pray for him, please.
Praying for Rich. Thank you. Other prayers today. Mary, John.
I've got a request from Julie Baldwin, who called me yesterday. Prayers for her brother, who's going in for surgery. And she just would ask that you keep him in your prayers and your hearts.
Nancy and I seek prayers for our son Mark and our daughter-in-law Kathy, who are having marital difficulties.
Thanks, Glenn, for Mark and Kathy, and also for Julie and Jim. Another prayer, Joe.
I have a quick praise. I had asked for prayers a couple weeks ago for the MLK elementary school fifth graders who are going to be getting their third new teacher for the year, and apparently the second teacher of the year didn't have to be transferred out, so they were able to continue on, which is a good thing for them. So thanks for praying for that. My boys are homesick today. Elliot's on his fourth day of a fever of about 103. I'm supposed to be going out of town this week, so pray for healing for him so that the kids are healthy and I can go. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. We're praying for your household and your family today, for God's healing, and also giving thanks for that MLK class. Another prayer. Come around this way. Hey, Judy.
I think we all agree that this is a wonderful church and that God is here working with us. But not all churches are having the same experience that we have. And I'd like you to keep some of these churches in mind. There are particularly churches in upstate New York that are struggling, that are having problems. Should they close? Should they remain open? What do they do? So I'd ask for God's blessing on them. I would also ask for prayers for three churches in our presbytery, Tumaini Fellowship, the Christ is Life Church, and the United Church of Fall River. And Joe Miller, who is serving there, and he's got a lot of work cut out for him, so I'd like your prayers for him as he does that.
Thanks, Judy. Pray for those churches in upstate New York, and especially Tumaini, Christ is Life, and the United Parish in Fall River. Another prayer over here. Cheryl.
I'm speaking on behalf of the Wadia and Nasser family. Veen's brother and his family are Iraqi refugees in Damascus, and they're very concerned about their safety. And they applied for political asylum to Canada over a year ago and have heard nothing. So it's her brother's name is Fadi, his wife's name is Luna, they have a 3-year-old son named Mark, and a 1-year-old named Martin. And they ask for our prayers for safety in Syria and also for their acceptance for asylum in Canada.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks, Fien. Praying for your family in Syria and the situation there. And it's Fadi, Luna, Mark, and Martin. Okay, we're praying for them. Thanks. Another prayer today. John.
I have a few friends that are models in New York, and I just pray for mental strength and physical strength as they do fittings and walk this upcoming week in New York fashion show. So just for mental strength for them to get through it well.
Thanks. For some model friends in New York and for strength for them this week.
Let us pray. Great and wondrous God, you meet us where we are, and we are never the same. We give thanks for the power of your grace, the sweep of your love, the call to your justice, near and far, to live lives transformed and empowered by your Spirit. We pray for this world you have created, for places of war and disaster, for those who are struggling to make ends meet in near and far places. We pray particularly this day for Veen's brother and family in Syria, for their request for asylum, for their safety in this time, and for all your people in the unrest in Syria these days. Give them a hope that rests solidly in you, and remind them and us ever of the strength that is your power at work in us. We pray, O Lord, this day as well for the work of our larger church and those who are involved in its leadership, in synod and presbytery, and our partners and friends in ministry. Draw us ever closer to you and one another in the needs before us to show forth your witness to the world. We pray for churches in particular need, named and unnamed, those in upstate New York and in our own presbytery, for our brothers and sisters in Tamiami, Christ is Life, and United Parish. We pray, O Lord, this day for those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, discouraged by their circumstances. Lord, strengthen them in these days and bring them to health. We pray for Mark and the whole Weber family, for Gwen, for Terry and Nicholas, for Melinda, for Julie down with her brother Jim following this surgery, for Roberta and Uncle Dexter, for Rich Evans in the changes of recovery, for the continuing illness in the Fisher family, and for good health to return swiftly there. Touch them all with your grace, that they may be encouraged even in this time of need for healing. We pray, O Lord, knowing that you are the healer of relationships and the strengthener even when those relationships are failing. We pray this day particularly for Mark and Kathy, for Marilyn. We pray for those in the midst of transitions of all kinds in life, even for those things which are good things. We pray particularly, too, for the unemployed, for those who are underemployed and have been searching for long, for those who are reaching for recovery, for those awaiting the birth of new babies. We give thanks, O God, for the blessings of our lives, for Gladys' witness here today, for the joy of celebrating a birthday on Sunday. We give thanks for your blessings and your strength in her life and with her family. We praise you, O God, for celebrations and travels and opportunities to reconnect and live into the fullness of life that you have for us. We pray for Vivian as she is off to Ghana on Saturday. We give thanks for prayers answered, for your presence with that fifth grade class at Martin Luther King and our continuing attempts to reach out there, for the strength that you will give to John's friends in this week ahead in their work. In all these things, O God, we pray in the name and power of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, hallowed be thy name, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
I'd like to ask all the children in the congregation to come forward at this time. Come on up and find a place here in the front, on a pew or on the floor. Find a seat. Josie, come on in. Just sit right there. Find a spot. Come on in. Hey, Ben. Come on in. Come on over. Liza. Well, I brought something that I want to show you guys today. And I don't know if you've seen this before or not. Maybe you have. Maybe you even remember it from when you were even littler, a little smaller. Have you ever seen this book? Yeah? You've seen it? Does anyone know what this book is called? What's it called? Good reading, Pat the Bunny. It's a book, it's a storybook called Pat the Bunny. And I want to show you this book. It's really cool. Check it out. Check it out. Open it up. And it says, here are Paul and Judy. They can do lots of things. You can do lots of things too. And then every page you go, Judy can pat the bunny. Yeah, you pat the bunny. You feel that bunny? Furry. Furry. Ah, you want to pat him? Okay. Pat the bunny. Good. Want to pat him, Evan? Good. Judy can play peekaboo with Paul. Now you play peekaboo with Paul. There he is. Peekaboo. Play peekaboo with Paul. You want to play peekaboo? Okay. All right, don't worry, there's more. Paul can smell the flowers. Now you smell the flowers. You smell those flowers? You smell? Smell the flowers? You smell the flowers? Okay. Let's try the next one. Can I smell? Smells pretty good. Judy can look in the mirror. Now you look in the mirror. Can you see in that mirror? There it goes. Hello. There it goes. Let's see another one. Judy can feel Daddy's scratchy face. Now you feel Daddy's scratchy face. Can you feel the scratchy face? Sorry, can you feel a scratchy face? See that? You want to feel it? Okay. All these things. All right, wait, let's see if there's one more. Let's see. Paul can put his finger through Mommy's ring. Now you put your finger through Mommy's ring. Can you do it? Good. Good. Okay. 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 Everyone get their finger in there. The pinky ring. Okay. Try it. Good. So here's what I'm thinking about, why I love this story. It's kind of like the stories that we read here in the church. We read a story about what God has done, and then we also have something that we get to do. Our story here in the church is about what God has done and what we also get to do. God has done great things, and God calls us to respond. Patting the bunny, playing peekaboo, smelling the flowers, that's just in this book. But in our book, which is the Bible, we hear about all these other things. The ways that we love each other and take care of our sister or our brother or our friend or a baby. The way we share our things with other kids. The way we listen to our mom and dad who love us. So our story is always one that has both things that God does and things that we do, just like this book. So I want to send you down to your classes where you're going to learn even more about what God has done and how much God loves you. So let's pray for a minute here. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all these children in our church today. Bless them and teach them. Lead them to know you more and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You are all released to your classes right now. And the middle school class is meeting today upstairs.
This morning's Old Testament lesson can be found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, and that is in your pew Bibles on page 320, and if you should be using a large print Bible, it's on page 416. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served as Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman came angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in rage, but his servants approached him and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? When all he said to you was, wash and be clean. So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. And now the New Testament lesson can be found in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, and Pew Bibles page 33, and large print page 43. A leper came to him begging and kneeling. He said to him, If you choose, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh.
Good morning. There is a place in California that my family likes to go. It's called Fort Funston. And Fort Funston is an open area of hills and dunes right along the Pacific coast, where you hike through these hills and then down a sandy path all the way down until you reach the beach. But this isn't a beach for swimming or surfing or sandcastles. This is really just a giant dog park. And so at this beach, all the dogs are off the leash, and they're running around everywhere having a great time. So when I was home in California in December with my family, we decided to take a trip to the beach, and we packed up 2 babies, 5 adults, and a dog, and we headed over to Fort Funston. We took this long walk through the woods and hills down to the beach, and our dog, whose name is Brutus, had a great time. He ran all over the place, he jumped into the waves, chased sticks, rolled around in the sand. He had a lot of fun, but it was really messy. And so the time came to get back in our car and drive home, and the dog was a mess. We brushed him off as best as we could, but still, it didn't really help. So we got in the car, and he got all into everybody's lap and left muddy paw prints all over our clothes. Everything that touched him was filthy. And then we got home, and somehow the dog got inside and started rolling around on the rugs in our living room. So they were filthy. Everything this dog touched, it was immediately dirty. It had dog hair and slobber and sand all over it. And there's nothing you can do with a dog like that at that point except send them out back, out into the backyard, and don't let them back inside until they get clean. Just avoid touching them. So I was thinking about our dog Brutus this week and that trip to the beach as I was reading these 2 passages from Scripture. Both of them are stories about people who are suffering from leprosy. One is a general named Naaman, and the other is an unnamed leper who comes to see Jesus hoping to be healed. Both men are suffering from a skin disease that makes them unclean. But also, anyone who comes into contact with them or touches them can also become unclean. Kind of like sand on a wet dog. Leprosy is contagious. And so what I want to suggest to you today as we begin to look at these 2 stories is that these are not just dermatological stories about people who have skin problems, but they are really theological stories. They seek to teach and tell us something about who God is or what God is like. And so I want to invite you to open yourself again to God's story as we hear it in Scripture and to discover how your story, where you're at, what's going on in your life, might relate somehow to this word of the Lord from Scripture. So as we begin again today, let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel story for the morning begins this way. It says that a leper came to Jesus, kneeling and begging him. And he said, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, it says that Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was clean. Now, the leper in this story is held captive by the power of his skin disease. His leprosy not only affects him physically, but it also isolated him socially and spiritually. According to the Old Testament law, which is found in Leviticus, anyone who suffered from this kind of skin disease was separated from everyone else. They were considered ceremonially unclean. And since this disease was potentially contagious, lepers had to live alone. They lived outside of town, and whenever they came into town, they had to announce their presence by going through the streets saying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." They had to announce their uncleanness. So because of these prohibitions, it was very unusual for a leper to approach someone the way this man does with Jesus. Not only is he contagious, but there's also this social stigma. People just didn't want him around. So in a really bold move, he comes to Jesus kneeling and begging, and says, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And it says that Jesus looked at him and saw him with pity. Another translation of the word is compassion. And this is the first lesson that I want to share with you from this scripture passage today, that God looks at us. God looks at you with your hurts and our needs, with our skin diseases and our broken down relationships, with our sin and our sickness and our silliness. God looks at us with compassion, with pity, with love, no matter what we've got. And you know, we've all got something. Maybe it's not leprosy, but we've all got things in our lives that isolate us or stigmatize us or cut us off somehow from a right relationship with God and with other people. But our story tells us today that God sees us as we are, even with all that we've got going on or going wrong in our lives, and that God does not look at us with anger or with judgment or with rejection, but with compassion. Our God is a compassionate God. And this should be really good news for us. This should be really good news for you, but I suspect that most of you don't believe it. Most of you and me, much of the time, don't believe this good news. Instead, we hold on to what I want to call today a dirty dog theology. Do you have a dirty dog theology? I do sometimes. Here's what I mean. Think about that dirty dog we talked about earlier. You know, the one who was romping around on the beach? The one who got all covered in sand and mud and muck, and then who got into the car and was stepping on everybody, and who was licking the baby's face, don't tell Lisa, and who then when we got home was rolling around on the rugs and making the whole house dirty. A dirty dog theology tells us that God looks at us the way we look at that dog. Get out of the car. Get out of the house. Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you or touch you or hear from you until you are cleaned up, dirty dog. Is that what God is like? Keep away from me until you're clean, until you're healed, until you've kicked that habit, until you've straightened out your life. I wonder, is that the way that God operates? Actually, it's just the opposite. Scripture tells us that the proof of God's amazing love for us is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus saw this man and was moved with pity for him. So while he was still trapped in the power of that leprosy, in the power of his disease, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose to make you clean." God has compassion for us right where we are, even in the midst of our struggles or our sickness or our sin, the things that we face. But God doesn't stop there, because God doesn't want this leper to go on just living as if living in this same way, afflicted and burdened and cut off from everybody else. So Jesus says, "I choose to make you clean." And the word in Greek that the Bible uses here, the word is thelo. And this is a word that can mean a number of different things. It can mean choose or desire or wish or love or delight. Hear this again. Jesus says to the man, "I desire to make you clean. I love to heal you. It is my delight to make you whole." This is the second lesson that our story is teaching us today about who God is. God is compassionate, and God delights in our healing. God loves to make us whole. God desires that we be freed from the things that hold us back in our life from experiencing what Jesus calls life abundant. So is God like an angry dog owner sitting in the house, arms folded, pouting about all that sand? in sand and mud? No. God's delight, what God loves to do, is to reach out and to touch us and to heal us and to help. In the Old Testament Mosaic law, if someone was cleansed somehow of leprosy, they would go to the priest, and the priest would see their situation and would pronounce them clean. After Jesus heals this man, he sends him and says, go present yourself to the priest in this way. The role of the priest in the Old Testament was not to clean someone or help them or do that. The role of the priest was simply to confirm that this had happened. If by chance a leprosy started going away, started clearing up, they could go and show to the priest and say, look, I'm doing better. And the priest could say, great, now you will be reinstated into the community. But this isn't the way it is with God. You see, God doesn't stand back and wait to see whether we're going to get our act together. God doesn't wait to see whether we'll somehow clean it up. God doesn't wait to see whether we'll somehow figure it out. No, God reaches out to us. God reaches out to you. In Jesus Christ, God came down to live among us, flesh and blood. In Jesus, we get an up-close and personal view of who God is. God is compassionate toward our weakness, and God acts in power to bring restoration, healing, and renewal into our lives. This is God's delight. I wonder, as you think about your own life and your story, in light of this story today, whether you might identify in some way with this leper. Are there places of weakness or need, things that you would ask for Jesus to heal or to help in you today? I wonder where you might already be experiencing how God is at work in you. Are there areas of your life where you can sense God's delight in blessing you or in healing you or in putting your life back together somehow? Well, all of this leads us toward our third point for the morning, our third lesson, and that is, if we're talking all about the power of God, who's at work in us with both compassion and delight, if all of this is the work of God in Christ, then what, if anything, are we supposed to do? What is our part to play? Can we pat the bunny? This was the question that our Old Testament lesson for today poses. You will remember that it's a story about Naaman, who was a powerful general in the land of Aram, which is modern-day Syria. It's northeast of Israel. And Naaman was successful in just about everything that he did. But he had one problem. Naaman had leprosy. We've all got something. And since he is a man of bold action, when he finds out that there's a cure for him that's possible over in the land of Israel, immediately he sets out. He gets letters from his king, and he goes to see the king of Israel. He rides all the way there by horseback. This man is rough and ready. When he finds out that the king of Israel cannot help him, he goes on to the house of the prophet, Elisha. Elisha was Israel's main religious leader at the time. It's something like coming to Providence and coming to meet Pastor Chris. Very important stuff. So Naaman is prepared to do whatever it takes to get this healing in his life. But then he's surprised, because the prophet Elisha doesn't even come out the door to greet him. And he doesn't perform any elaborate prayers. He doesn't step into any time-consuming rituals. He doesn't make a big spectacle. He doesn't jump through fire. He doesn't walk on coals. All he tells Naaman is to go to the river and wash 7 times, and he'll be clean. But this doesn't sit well with Naaman, because as we said, he's a man of action. And the story makes it clear that he was up for anything. If the man of God had said, climb this holy mountain, he would climb it. If he said, take this pilgrimage, he would take it. If he said, go and make this costly sacrifice, he would make it. Elisha was up for doing some really big stuff. But he balks, and he stops, and he stumbles when what he is asked to do is so small and so simple. I think we can feel this way sometimes too. Almost like we'd rather do the big things, the dramatic actions, the grand gestures for God. But what if that's not what God is asking of us? What if it's simpler than that? What if what God wants from us is faith, lived out in very incremental, small, measly ways? I wonder if you remember a movie from about 15 years ago. It was called As Good as It Gets. It starred Jack Nicklaus and Helen Hunt as, I think, Melvin and Carol. And there were these two characters who, by the end of the movie, are out on a date. And Melvin is this very socially awkward man. He's brusque. He's actually very rude. He's a hard person to be around, but somehow Carol, Helen Hunt's character, is out on this date with him. And so he's brought her to this really nice restaurant, and he's wearing a brand new suit for the occasion. And she is clearly excited. She looks around the restaurant, and there's music playing, and she says, "Hey, do you want to dance?" And Melvin, Jack Nicklaus, says to her, "Well, I've been thinking a lot about that, and no. I don't want to dance. This place is a dump. We should get out of here." And at that, Carol stands up as if to leave. And you realize, looking at the movie, that she's a beautiful woman. She's dressed to the nines. She's done her hair. She's ready for a big and fun night out. And she says, "Melvin, pay me a compliment. I really need one right now. Pay me a compliment." And he hems and haws and says, "Oh, sit down, it's not so big a deal." And she says, "Pay me a compliment. I need a compliment right now." She's standing up in the middle of the restaurant. And he goes around and around, and finally he says, "Okay. You know, the other day when you came by my house, well, after you left, I took my medicine, these pills that I have to take. They're pills that moderate or manage my mood, and I don't like to take them, but after you left, I took them." And she says, "I don't see how that is a compliment for me." And he says, "Well, here it is. When I'm around you, you make me want to be a better man. You make me want to take my pills every day so I can be a better person to be with you." When we come to understand God's all-surpassing mercy and love and grace toward us, when we recognize the delight that God has in blessing us and building us up and making us whole, we can feel like Melvin. Like we want to be so much better than we are. Like we want to start doing things right in our life and be good and be pure and be right. But the thing that God is asking for us is not the grand gesture or the dramatic action. God's asking us to take our pills. Every day, the small thing that will enable us to walk faithfully with our God. Melvin started taking those pills, and fortunately or unfortunately for Helen Hunt, she ended up with them. But God, who has acted toward us with compassion and with delightful blessing, is asking us to do this small thing. What would it look like for you today to respond in your life in something not large, but small? What would faithful living look like for you as you move out into your week? My prayer for you today is that you would seek and find what that is as you live out your faith in the days to come. Amen.
Please rise and join me in reciting the affirmation of faith, which is the traditional version of the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. And now let us show our gratitude to God with our tithes and offerings.
Today I'm going to sing you a song from Ghana, and it means titled God Love Us Always.
Messi Yesu do mita, Jesus do mita, wa asha mi ani monyam, every sem mwo, Messi Yesu do mita. Me Jesus do mita wa hasha mi ani monyam efrisa maunuo enonti mita mida wasia mi waia Jesus aye yo mita mita nasia mi na ye misi yesu do uta mi Jesus do uta wa hasha wa ni monyam efrisa efrisa wehunwo wa shawa ni monyam efrisa efrisa wehunwo enoti mita mida nasia mi naya yesu saye yo mida mida nasia mi na ye. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, from whom all comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn today, which is How Great Thou Art, an old favorite. It will be projected and led by the worship band. Ready? Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and rest within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
came together by verse 2.
They all heard themselves.